So I've spent the last 20 years of my career working to improve sterile processing departments, working on making a difference and creating intuitive systems in sterile processing so that new employees, new grads, existing employees can really go in and do their jobs and not be set up for failure, to make sure that patients have a safe outcome every time.
What if one conversation could save a life? What if one new process or new product could save a patient from surgical harm? Broadcasting from a hospital basement near you, you are listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the global voice of sterile processing. Each week we spotlight the best practices, products and people from around the world who are disrupting our profession and helping you fight dirty. Every instrument, every time. Join us as we have the kinds of conversation that matter and give our industry the kind of voice that it deserves. Nyt on aika mennä puhdastakin puhtaammaksi. And now it's time to go beyond clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Marjorie Wall, Director of Sterile Processing at Kaiser Permanente and Isham Board of Directors member. As a sterile processing leader with over 20 years of industry experience, Marjorie pushes the boundaries for change and innovation, both within her organization and in the industry. Marjorie built her career turning around underperforming departments and is now an industry change driver as a writer and keynote speaker. Marjorie has achieved a Master's of Organizational Leadership from Azusa Pacific University, CRCST, CIS, and CHL certifications for Isham, along with being a certified Six Sigma Black Belt from the American Society for Quality. Marjorie has personally developed 12 frontline staff into SPD leaders and 13 SPD techs into Six Sigma Yellow Belts. Marjorie Wall's life philosophy is, sometimes you have to take a leap and build your wings on the way down. We have to be willing to change and improve through the toughest challenges, and we have to lead SPD. So, Mike, Marjorie's going to be a great interview. And right there at the end, we talked about being willing to change. And so now we're going to talk with Marjorie about how to get those changes to happen through process improvements and making those possible for all of our listeners out there in the industry. So I'm excited because I've seen Marjorie's great work, and I know lots of people who've had great experiences with her. And obviously it's touted very well in her bio, but Mike, I think you know Marjorie well, and this is going to be a great way to kick off season 7.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, if you haven't followed Marjorie on LinkedIn, you really need to question what you're doing, because everything that she posts is super high quality. And the topic that we're going to be talking about is something that she's very well versed in. And it's something that has kind of weaved its way through a number of our interviews, but we've never specifically talked about, which is process improvement. And this is something that really needs to define who we are as CS leaders. And honestly, I can't think of anybody better to talk about this particular topic than Marjorie. So yeah, I'm very hyped for this.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs.
It's
2023, and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case card with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for offsite sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit OneTray.com/contact.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Marjorie Wall, Director of Sterile Processing at Kaiser Permanente and Isham Board of Directors. And Marjorie, we're really excited to have you on the show. I see you on LinkedIn all over the place. You're chiming in, you're engaged in the discussion, and you're raising awareness for sterile processing. And the thing we're going to talk to you today about is making process improvement possible. And I know there's lots of people who sometimes listen to these podcasts and they think to themselves, that sounds like a great idea, but I don't even know where to get started, or so-and-so would never let me do that. And I think that this is going to be a great podcast for those people, and you're going to really make a difference by coming on the show today. So I just wanted to thank you and welcome you to your first interview on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely excited to talk to you guys. There's so much going on in the industry right now. We hear on the news all kinds of problems. You know, I've consulted at a lot of hospitals. I've worked at a lot of hospitals. And there's a point where as an industry and as individual leaders, we have to make a decision to change and be better. So I think creating a good process improvement plan for you and your organization can be a big pathway to making that impact.
Well, Marjorie, I know when we got prepared for this interview, you had a really great story to tell. So before we get started, why don't you just talk about your experiences and help everybody get warmed up to this concept of process improvement?
That sounds great. So I want to be honest with you. I started in the industry back in the 90s. And when I started in the industry, I was actually a mathematics major at the University of Georgia on a full scholarship. And I was working in sterile processing on the weekends. And I tell you the story because it's going to tell the why. Why is process improvement so important? When I started at this hospital, I went through a few weeks of training, and then I was put to work on the weekend by myself. When I worked on the weekend, we did, if you remember the old DHS Synthese hip trays, we had two of those procedures, and I washed both of those trays. And processed them, you know, assembled, sterilized, whole process. The following Monday, they had another patient with needing that tray. And when they went to use the tray, they pushed a guide pin through one of the reamers, and a worm of blood came out the other end with the old guide pin from the prior procedure. So the patient's already under anesthesia. They're well into the procedure. And the whole back table's contaminated. So they break everything down, and then they get the second tray. And the same thing happens. The worm, the guide pin, everything comes out. It's absolutely devastating for the surgeon and the patient, you know, that's under asleep at the table. So the hospital resolves it. The patient completes their surgery. And then the surgeons go to administration to get me fired because I'm the one that processed those trays and ensured that that patient was put at risk because I didn't do my job. My boss at the time, she's a phenomenal leader. She goes, you know, wait, we set her up for failure. We didn't train her. We didn't have systems in place to keep this from happening. And they put me through remedial training. And that's when I decided that I would, you know, stop going to University of Georgia to be a math major and work on business and leadership education, but also that I would work in sterile processing because it's a field where we have problems, where we can go and we can learn and we can make a difference and impact the patients. So I've spent the last 20 years of my career working to improve sterile processing departments, working on making a difference and creating intuitive systems in sterile processing so that new employees, new grads, existing employees can really go in and do their jobs and not be set up for failure, to make sure that patients have a safe outcome every time. That's really the why behind why process improvement is so important.
Marjorie, one of the things that I appreciate about you is you just brought to light something so important for not only just the newest generation of sterile processing technicians, but also a majority of individuals in this industry is really figuring out what that why is. Why do you show up every day? Why do you do this hard work? Why do you even talk about process improvements? Why is that important? And one of the things I would like to do is start by defining some terms. Let's talk about what is process improvement and why do you need to plan for it in a sterile processing department?
So process improvement is really looking at your systems in your department and working with your team and figuring out how you can get your systems to function at the highest level possible. Eliminate as much waste as possible. Make it a consistent process that gives you a consistent, safe result that's compliant with regulatory standards. The reason why you need to plan for it is because if you don't, you're going to fail. If you can't put a plan in place and get buy-in from your crew, as well as your administration team, you're not going to have engagement and support in your systems from your crew, and you're not going to have the financial and budgetary resources that you need to be successful from administration. So you have to plan.
And Marjorie, I got to tell you, that story was extremely meaningful just because it really sets the stage for a number of things that we've talked about. And my initial reaction is just that, you know, we've talked about that finding your why with Nestor Hernandez before, and it sounds like you found your why just in an incredible way. And I can also relate because I had a very similar thing happen to me when I was a technician at Jewish Hospital in Louisville. I found out that I had missed taking a disposable item off of a chest retractor, and that had caused a heart transplant case to be delayed by a full hour. But you can bet from that point on, I never missed checking for those disposable components again. But, you know, it does illustrate a very serious problem with OR and hospital culture, which is when a problem happens, kind of the knee-jerk reaction is, well, let's just fire the person who's responsible rather than, well, let's look at the processes and see what we can fix rather than, you know, just fire this person and bring in the next one. You know, so that highlights a very real cultural problem that we have. So I would like to talk to you then about, in the grand scheme of challenges that our industry faces, how do you choose a particular focus area for process improvement? Because honestly, there's a lot of things that you could choose. So how do you pick any particular one to focus on?
So when I'm looking at where I'm going to focus on, it's really dependent on the organization that I'm working with or looking at. And it's looking at the needs that they have. So a lot of that is talking to the people, the OR key stakeholders, but also the SPD crew, because they're the ones that are living it day to day. They know their frustrations and their pain points. But overall, looking at that and then looking at the systems and what can change to make things better. Missing instruments is a great example. If you have a lot of missing instruments, the OR doesn't have the critical instrument that they need, and OR is blaming SPD for losing it. SPD is blaming OR for throwing it away in the towels, right? So it's going back and, you know, conducting a root cause analysis, figuring out the areas that are creating that risk factor, and then defining that as your focus area. So for me, with process improvement, I tend to look at tray accuracy, tracking, documentation, and compliance, physical workflow, and then staffing and engagement as the four areas that I look at to build into a plan. And then I may work on all of those areas at once, or I may pick one or two or three things to get quick wins and buy-in into the change management process. And then it's, you know, start working through using Six Sigma tools and building engagement and making an impact with your team.
Marjorie, one of the things that I've learned is a little bit about your process improvement plan. I know you've held a lot of significant leadership roles in sterile processing, and a consistent theme that runs through your process improvement plan is really utilizing data to determine tray needs, to determine staffing needs, and really using that data to build a case for administration. One of the things, however, that I did notice is when you focus on the specific focus area of staffing needs, if you don't motivate your staff, if you don't engage them, if you don't pay them for what they're worth, giving them the tools and resources they need to succeed, you won't be able to retain those staff members. And one of the things that I noticed is that you really focus on not just adding an element of education to training, not just expecting a level of engagement, but really improving the education and facilitating engagement by getting people involved. I think something that would be really helpful for the listening audience is talking about project timelines, because we can talk till we're blue in the face about the importance of these improvement ideas, but what exactly does an implementation timeline look like? Let's start with, how long did it take for you to develop this plan itself? For example, how long did it take you to come up with these particular focus areas?
Sure. So I've worked at a few hospitals over the years, and I've turned around a few departments in my experience. So with that, you know, industry experience, I was able to build kind of my plan and my structure rather quickly. For me, with, again, my experience, it usually takes me 2, maybe 3 months most to have a really good 1 to 2 year plan as far as the projects that I want to accomplish in 1 to 2 years goal. I would say for someone with less experience, maybe just starting to try using some of the process improvement tools, I would pick 1 to 2 projects that you could accomplish in 1 to 2 months. And then when you get some more experience, build some longer, you know, 1 to 2 year goals. So my 1 to 2 year plan probably has 18 different projects or initiatives that are rolled up under it. And I have a Gantt chart that shows where this project starts, this one ends, the next one starts, the next one ends. This project builds into this project. For example, cleaning up data, getting data integrity for account sheets and nursery menus. That project starts prior to tray optimization, where you're looking at, you know, reducing redundant instruments or instruments that aren't used in your trays, or even on-screen assembly. If you're implementing a new computer system, you need to do this data work before you do that data work. But it's really creating a big view, but also creating the small steps that it's going to take to get to that big end goal, and then celebrating it when you get there.
So the next thing is, you've got the plan ready, you know what you're going to do, and not only do you have to recruit your coworkers and your teammates, but then you've got to get potentially financial resources behind it or just other commitments. And to do that, you've got to take this whole plan, then you've got to put it into a presentation that's digestible, that hits the main points. And so talk about what you focus on when you're packaging this up into a presentation, and then who you're trying to get it in front of.
When I'm building a presentation, you have to remember your audience, exactly what you said. What's the point of getting a presentation and getting it in front of someone? And that's to get resources. So when I'm building a plan, I'm building it to get it in front of my CFO, to get it in front of my administrator, whoever that is, whether it's a COO, CFO, or even a director if you're at the manager's level. And so you need to build it in that language with that presentation that really takes them through the story of showing why this is important, showing the data that justifies what you need. We need more staffing because our case mix has changed from doing a lot of urology procedures to doing a lot of orthopedic procedures. So now our caseload, our workload in SPD is 8 times what it was last year, even though our case volume hasn't changed. So it's building that and it's structuring it into a presentation that has a good mix of, you know, images, graphs, data, and bullet points that really hit home the point of the argument that you're trying to make, so that when you present it, you're able to really tell a story and get their buy-in and engagement. And if you're not able to present it, when they review it, they can get that story just by going through the PowerPoint and the presentation.
So Marjorie, along with, you know, establishing those timelines, what can you tell us about what is the expectation for when a project is going to be completed? I mean, is it a long-term project? I think you mentioned, you know, several months or possibly even years for this. I mean, is that what you're expecting for your average project?
So I build a big view of end goal of what I want the department to look like. And then we pick off slices that get us there over the year. So it's not a 2-year project per se, unless you're doing a big capital construction project. That's a 2-year project or a 5-year project, depending. It's more of my favorite example is looking at missing instruments as an example. You know, your problem is that the OR is missing instruments, and there's so many different root causes. You pick the one root cause that you think is the main problem that's leading to your defect, leading to your missing instruments, and then you implement it. So for us, we looked at one piece flow. So we were experiencing a lot of missing instruments. We had a large backlog, 350 trays down every night. We were not zeroing out every night. Again, I just want to say that number again, 350 trays down every night. And SPD staff were assembling the trays, but they couldn't find the missing instruments. So there were solutions thrown out. Let's buy more instruments, right? Let's then get people dedicated to do nothing but searching for missing instruments and giving those to the people that are assembling sets. And then I had an employee that came up with an idea of color coding the trays. So as the trays came out of the case carts, they would be color coded a color for that case cart. Then those trays would get processed together. The next case cart would come, they would be a different color. Those trays would get processed together and they would go through that process all day. So decontam would assemble trays first in, first out. Assembly would assemble trays first in, first out. Well, what we found was that our missing instrument rate dropped down by 80%. And the reason for that is staff weren't having to search through 350 trays. They were able to search through the 4 trays that were from that one case cart. We also found that our backlog, just from that one change, went from 350 trays a night to around 100. So it really smoothed out our process, and we were able to implement that. And it took us about 3 weeks to come up with all the ideas and get the buy-in, and it took us about 6 weeks to be able to show that it worked.
Boy, that data is so important. Measurable results that also builds almost like a tidal wave of confidence in future process improvements. So when you get a couple of wins like that and prove that you can do it, then people start to believe that the next idea is a good one and the next idea is a good one. And it also gives you some leeway. If a couple of ideas don't work, nobody says, one of those again. And I think that's critically important to gaining momentum towards just overall improvement of any department. And so this next question I have for you, I kind of think I might already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which focus area really gets you the most excited and why?
So I'm a little bit of an SPD nerd. So what gets me the most excited is data. So when I look at tray accuracy and I'm looking at tracking documentation and compliance, when I'm looking at staff and engagement and physical workflow, it's all data to me. As far as what's going to get you the most impact, It's going to be looking at your physical workflow and using your physical workflow to do exactly what you just described, which is building that momentum, building that employee engagement, and getting administration's trust to invest into your ideas. So it's a two-part answer. So I think what's going to get you success is focusing on physical workflow. And what I personally love is, you know, the data.
Now, Marjorie, you've already talked about a number of things that we've hit on previous episode. One thing that I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit about is gaining the support of administration, because that is a common theme that we've had on this show, is that if you cannot get that support from administration, you just probably aren't going to be successful. I see so many managers make that mistake of just trying to bulldoze through on their own power, and it almost always fails. One of the tools that is in your tool belt, particularly in your case, because you are a Lean Six Sigma black belt, and there are a lot of visualization tools that are available to you, and administrators tend to eat that up. By the way, I'm a green belt, so I think I have to refer to you as sensei. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how the rules work. But can you just describe some of those more effective visualization tools that you've used to really help push that case forward with administration and to your own staff?
Sure. So when you get ready to build your plan, and when you're having those conversations with administration, you need to speak to them in their language. So they're not SPD techs. They're not clinicians, unless you work for a CNO. Typically, they're MBAs, and you need to speak to them in languages that MBAs understand. And you're absolutely right. Lean Six Sigma has fabulous tools that help make that a little bit easier. Process mapping and being able to show before and after process mapping is very visual, very important. Gantt charts, which show you the timeline of your projects and how everything fits together. Probably the most powerful thing that's going to help you get support is being able to show an ROI or return on investment, whether it's a quality return on investment or a financial return on investment. So if you can capture your defect rates, whether it's missing instruments or tray errors in the operating room, and then you're able to correlate that with your successes of your projects, you're going to be able to get even more and more resources and investment from administration and support for improving your department and getting everything that you need.
Marjorie, you hit on such a key point, and that's speaking the language to the people who you want to really hear the message. And as we wrap up this interview, I want to know, how would you encourage leaders of sterile processing departments who may feel like they're ill-equipped to lead something like this? What would be your words of encouragement? What would be maybe your first action item that you would give them to just take that first step?
I'm going to give you a quote that my boss gave me, and actually my boss at that hospital in Georgia. And this has really been my career motto. Sometimes you have to take a leap and build your wings on your way down. You can't be afraid of change. You can't be afraid to put yourself out there in ways that you're uncomfortable or maybe not used to doing. So it's really picking something that you're passionate about and taking the risk to work on it.
Marjorie, I really love that quote. I've heard something similar before, like go at 80%, because if you're waiting for everything to be perfect, then you'll never make that move. But I like it even more, what you said and the way that you just put it, because it speaks to a much greater level of bravery, which is what it really takes. And so take a leap and build your wings on the way down is a great quote. I can't tell you how much I've appreciated this interview. It's gone very quickly, and I can tell just by that we're going to have you back on for a future episode as well.
Well, I love speaking to you guys. I'm a big fan of Beyond Clean. I love the impact that y'all are making in the industry, and I'm hoping there's more SPD leaders out there that are willing to step up and help make a difference.
That was Marjorie Wall, Director of Sterile Processing at Kaiser Permanente and Isham Board of Directors. Lindsay, I'm really ecstatic with the content that we put out to kick off season 7 with Marjorie. And I know we just barely glossed over the surface of this. And when we talk about having guests back on in the future, I can see Marjorie joining us again.
I completely agree. And you know what, Justin, this is another great interview that really reinforces the need to utilize hard and fast data to make informed decisions for the sterile processing department. And Marjorie said it herself. She geeks out about the data. But the difference is it's told from the perspective of a sterile processing leader who is taking charge of this process, working in real time with real staff to implement process improvements that not only increase efficiencies and eliminate labor waste, but they also save the sterile processing department a heck of a lot of money and a matched amount of unnecessary stress. So I'm really excited for our audience to listen to this interview.
One of the great signs of great leaders is that they share their knowledge and they develop others. They're not threatened that they're going to lose their job in making other people great. And so that's an excellent leadership skill that Marjorie definitely has. And so who knows? Maybe we'll even talk to some of the people that she's developed who have gone on to do other great process improvements themselves. But that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or if you'd like to share a picture anonymously on our Instagram page, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Lindsay, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening to this week's edition of Beyond Clean.